Torreway, North West London, 25th of January, Chov Zayin Teves, Rabbi Moshe Batala Grosnas, the Or HaChaim and his newfound world.
I'd like to discuss today, Metz Hashem, the Or HaChaim's introductions to his Sforim. And hopefully there we will discover his newfound world. Before we discuss the introductions, I'd like to give the introduction that Chidor gives to the Or HaChaim. In Shema Gedolim, Mareches, Ches, as is his way, he goes through a little bit about each Godel. So he says the Or HaChaim was, he learned by the Or HaChaim, the Talmud of the Or HaChaim, Chidor, and he says that the Or HaChaim was he was very deep in his learning. And he says, you want to see his wisdom, you look at his four famous Dvarim, the Or HaChaim al HaTorah, Chevetz Hashem al HaShas, Rishon LeZion, which is on Shas and Poskim, and Pri Toya, which is on Yoredeya, debating the Pri Chodosh. He says, if you look there, you'll see his Chochmah. However, he says, it's but one-tenth of his Chochmah. He also makes note that the Or HaChaim was someone who was otherworldly. He was muvdal and mufrish with all types of hafroshes from the things of this world. So, I'd like to now go through his introduction. Some of the things will just be facts, and some of the things will be nogeh to halacha. So he says like this. He describes that a big feature in his introductions is the fact that he had many tzoras. And he says his oppressors that brought about these tzoras were not only non-Jewish, they were also Jewish oppressors. And he says it in his poetic lashon. He says, "V'hei nekifani soishu b'isosi, the troubles have befallen me, b'sach seich Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim." Now when we say sich seich Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim, that means a civil war. So he's saying that the tzoras that befell him were from within. There were tzoras from his own Yiddish brethren. And he says, Nirdaft Lukuni, they chased after me, Bifisa, they sent me to prison, Bemesira, they did Mesiras on me, Alila, slanders, etc. Okshazer Neufel, Zekom. When one enemy falls, the next enemy stands up. And he says he didn't have a moment of security. Bani b'toichi yam ha-tzoros, he says, I'm in the sea, sort of drowning in the sea of tzoros. Tfisus, imprisonment al iske moman, to do with money. Val iske nefoshes, I assume it means that his life was endangered. He says this also in Chefetz Hashem. He says it clearer. He says, v'yokum li avoyni le'oyvai. My sins created my enemies. B'nei Bris, Kroivim Rechoikim. B'nei Bris, Jewish people, near to me and distant to me. Now he says that one of his more difficult Torahs was due to Tfisus al Iske Moman. Was due to him having connections to a lot of money. How did he have connections to a lot of money? His father was Reb Moshe ben Reb Chaim ben Atah, right? His name was Reb Chaim ben Atah. His grandfather's name was Reb Chaim ben Atah, who they were at the same time. His father didn't call on the grandfather's name. And his father, Reb Chaim's father, was Reb Moshe ben Reb Chaim. His shver was the brother of his grandfather, who was called Reb Moshe ben Baal Shem. So he married the daughter of his great uncle. Now his great uncle, this Reb Moshe, and his grandfather Reb Chaim ben Atar, they were shutfim, and they had a big business. And his father-in-law was the sort of the big supporter of the kehillah. However, when there's a lot of money, there's jealousy, and therefore it led to cases against him, And his father-in-law eventually was imprisoned, and the government authorities put on him a big fine. Such a big fine, he didn't manage to cover it during his lifetime. Therefore, after he was nifta, the government authorities took away the properties. And that led to strife in the family as to whose properties belong to the father-in-law, etc. Rav Chaim ben Atar, the Rav Chaim, lost all his possessions. And he carries on to say that people didn't give up. Even after he lost everything, he was still chased. He says like a Lomdisha thing, he says like this. He says, V'homo alai saris yimei amoynim, v'loi shovu aroitfim. The chases didn't stop. Kivisi l'sholoim, I hope for peace. V'hein ola milchomo. And they're creating war. Rots acha rots, one chase after the other. V'nodadati me'ir le'ir, I had to go from town to town. He was chased from place to place. And he says, like this, V'koil hav hav loy posak, the voice of give, give didn't stop. Af ki tama kesef v'amikne, even though my money completely was finished, it dried out already. He says this, V'hemidu gavra aches kosei, they kept me on my chazoka rishona that I once had money. That's how they treated me when they were chasing me. And therefore he says, the ein choyne, no one has mercy. The sugru dal siyat Torah, I can't learn properly. He's disturbed the whole time. He's chased, and he says in a few places in Chavetz Hashem and in the Atkom of Torah Chaim, he says that he didn't have enough time to put himself properly to the work. He'd do a few pages of Chavetz Hashem, put it back in his bag, suffer some more tzoros, pull it out when he had a spare moment, and carry on writing. And same with the Torah Chaim, he says it disturbs his writing, and he says in Chavetz Hashem, if you wonder why sometimes I write barichus and sometimes I write shorthand, it's because I don't have a proper miyushev dika oifen of writing, so I do what I can and the way my mind is able to write at this point of time. Another reason for him not being able to spend a lot of time on writing the Aruch Chaim, he writes a very interesting thing. He says he had a very busy daily schedule. It's obviously when he wasn't running from town to town. He says, first of all, he was learning every day. Second of all, meaning regular learning. Second of all, he was teaching. And then he says he had communal shiurim. The whole town used to come. Seems the town was okay with him. The whole town used to come to two shiurim a day. One earlier on and one nearer the evening. A communal shiur. And he says when it was summertime, the day was longer, it would be three shiurim a day. So probably lunch break was different than that day, so you could come into the Beis HaMedrash for one big communal shiur. Aside from that, he said, he would do chesed. He would collect the funds, and he would distribute the funds. And he says sometimes the funds weren't sufficient. So he had to sit and be mizboina, and he says, with a riyah sichlis, how to give to nefesh evyoinim, poor people, the tzaddikim, that they should each one be satisfied with what there is. So therefore he said he was very occupied with all these things and he didn't have time to write the Aruch Chaim. So when did he write the Aruch Chaim? Says the Aruch Chaim, a fascinating thing. He says that the only time I had to write the Aruch Chaim was on Friday, 4 to 5 hours every week on Friday, and he would do 2 to 3 pieces of Aruch Chaim, 4 to 5 hours every week on Friday. Why Friday? So he says that Friday is Yoyim Mitzvah, I'll read you the Lashon, but I yacholti lotzei schelek ma'ayomim, I couldn't give any time from the days, the Malach Mitzvah B'kviyus is a fixed thing, ela daledoy hei shoyz, 4 or 5 hours, b'chol shavua every week. V'hi v'aboike, Yoyim Ha'avov, it was on Friday, Yoyim Mitzirosi, the day that I was created, when we beat the Malachim that didn't want us to be created, we were created, that was the day that I wrote the Aruch Chaim. It's interesting that he seems to find a reason why Friday was a good day to write it. So I want to suggest something we once spoke about here. The Shlach HaKadosh says, in Kabbalah Shabbos, he brings from the Ramak, what's the inyan of Tosefa Shabbos, to add to Shabbos? So he says that every being, at its time of creation, in Maitza Bereishis, it's like now an hour of days, every day of the week. It's time of the creation originally is like a pit stop where it refuels and gets its main strength. So the human being would be on Friday. So says the Shlach HaKadosh B'Shem the Ramak, the Mazikim are created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. Therefore, their strongest time, most dangerous time of the week should be Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. In order to not allow that, we don't allow them to refuel, we don't give them their pit stop, we bring Shabbos in early. And therefore, it's not a weekday anymore, and their whole being was on the weekday. We bring Shabbos in early, and therefore, they don't have time to refuel. And then the Tziv Taka says as well that Motzei Shabbos, I don't know in the Matzias, but he says this, Motzei Shabbos, fire is hotter. Right? Because that was the time of the creation of fire. So too, could be, now it's just a suggestion, that Reb Chaim found Friday, Yoy Mitzirosi, as a time to delve in his works, because that's the strongest time, etzem of the human, because that was when he was created. The Reb Chaim says another point. When I wrote the Reb Chaim, he says, "Ukiyoyshev ba'olam chodosh yishavti." He says he had a lot of tzoros, but as nafshi itzalti, I saved myself. "Ukiyoyshev ba'olam chodosh yishavti," and I found a new world. It was like I was living in a new world. When velomus mitoch torah chashavti, when I sat and learned. And when I put myself to the work of writing the Orach Chaim, so he says that his newfound world to go away from all these Torahs was writing his Pirush al HaTorah, the Orach Chaim. And he brings this out in Devarim Chavov Yud Aleph. He says, "V'somachto b'chol atoiv." The Orach Chaim, famous, the very famous words of the Orach Chaim. He says, "V'ein toiv el HaTorah." And he says, if a person would feel the sweetness of Torah, Shem Hoyu Bnei Odom Argishim, B'Mesikus V'Arevus Toiv HaTorah, if one would realize the beauty of the Torah, Hoyu Mishtagim, they would go crazy, yeah, meaning they would go away from all what we call Seichel, U'Mislatim Achareel, they just chase the Torah, V'Lo Yechoshev Be'Neim, it wouldn't be important in their eyes, Meloi Oilam, a whole world, Kesef Azov, of gold and silver. Lama Uma, it wouldn't be worth anything. Ki HaTorah Koilele Es Kol HaTorah Shev Oilam. Whatever you can get, everything that you can get, is there in the Torah, and better. So he says, this is really what the Reb Chaim is saying, that yes, he was chased, he was oppressed, he had a hard time, but he turned to the Reb Chaim, he turned to Torah, he was in a different world. The Meloi Oilam Kesef Azov, the Meloi Oilam, with whatever he had to offer, for bad or for good, he was out of it when he was after the Torah. Ki ein toiv el haTorah, and everything else fell away. That was the Reb Chaim's look on how to get out of a Torah. So I suppose if one's looking for a skula, I think the Reb Chaim's writing here a skula, that one should anyway learn, but ein toiv el haTorah is the way out of the difficult situations. The Reb Chaim found his new world, a complete new world, detached from all the Torahs in his Reb Chaim. Now, another point we see in the Reb Chaim's Hakdomas, a very interesting thing, how truthful he was when it came to Limud HaTorah. He says, when he learned Chumash, or even Gemara, he had no Mefarshim on the page, just the Psukim. Why? He didn't want to see the Rishonim, Achroinim, not because he didn't hold of them, Mefaket. He says, Mehem Anuchayim, from them we live. But he didn't want to steal from their Chiddushim. I mean, he didn't even want to make his own Chiddush based on some of their Svaras. And then he'd say, it's mine. Because that would be, he said it very sharply, he said that would be, Luzei Yikore Ochiv Shom Nochosh HaKadmoini. Even to incorporate Svaras of someone else and make it your own, he says, would be called the work of the Nachash HaKadmoni. And therefore he would look at it with no Mefarshim. And he says, and the Torah Hashem Ksuva Lefonai B'li Pirushim, and this helped me understand, this brought me to the light. And he says, Virgashti Benafshi Sharos on Historos. I felt that I saw secrets. The Divrei Chaim in Chuvas, in Chedek Beis Yerodea, Simon Kofei, discusses a teacher that told his Talmidim, or told people, the Reb Chaim didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. And the people of that class, the parents, took all their children out from the Melamed's class. They want to know if they were right and if they have to pay him the rest of the year. So Zev Chaim has a tshuva about it, and he says they are right. He goes through many rayas, even though the Gemara says, Nevuah is botla, Miyom Sheh Nechra Beis HaMikdosh, Nevuah is botla, however Ruach HaKodesh is not. And he explains that Ruach HaKodesh has two elements. One, that Talmid Chachamim can have a certain Siyata Deshmaya and a Ruach de Kedusha that brings them to the truth in the Torah, brings them to the Emes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant in the Torah. And even sometimes, to be Tzoyfa Ben Historis, not like a Novi, that you see a certain message, but you can tehear a certain thing in the future. And he says that that's Nageah, he says, in the Divrei Chaim's time itself, to certain Tzadikim and Machabrim, they can be Baruch HaKodesh. And therefore he says it's correct. Divrei Chaim definitely wrote a Sefer, Baruch HaKodesh, and therefore such a Melamed is not someone you want to send your children to. However, he says that about paying him for the rest of the year, that's not simple. You hired him, that's not so simple that you don't have to pay him. The Beis Shloima and Shuvah Kuf Yud Beis also is Ma'arech to say on this Nakuda that the Rechaim had Ruach HaKodesh and whether other people also had Ruach HaKodesh. Let us go over to another point that the Rechaim mentions in his Akdomas. Rav Chaim says he had his grandfather that we mentioned earlier, who was called Rav Chaim ben Atah, and he calls him Moiri v'Rabbi Harav Amafursum Adoini Skeini Moiri Asher Noida v'Sha'orim Shemoi Hamuflug Hachosid Ha'onov Kumureinu Chaim ben Atah Chorin Levrocha. That was his Rebbe. Asher Meimov Shosisi Beimaim Chaim, I drank from his waters, Obeim Breichov Gidalti, and on his lap I grew. And he says that Miroim Chasidusoi, there was Kimat not a night that he didn't get up at Chatzos. Even in the very short nights, he would get up at Chatzos and he would get up and cry and wail over the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, Bepchi Godoy. And then, the rest of the night, he would learn Torah with me and with his other grandchildren. And he says that he also had tzoras. We said earlier he was a shutuf in this business. He also had tzoras, and he also had to run from town to town. But wherever he went, the Shechina went with him. And the Rechaim says a very important thing. He says, Klolei shel dvorim. What I got out from this is I watched my grandfather through all his tzoras, how he was always dovuk b'Hashem. He was always at least learning, well, at least a posuk, something, always, even through all the tirdas. And listen to these words, Umimenu lomadati, from him I learned, Tzas maisim, a little bit of deed, ketipo minayom, like a drop in the ocean. So if we can imagine what the Rechaim was, can imagine what his grandfather was. Akoponim, talking about Tikkun Chatzos, there's a very interesting Moiruk Tzio from the Yaivetz and Siman Aleph, his first piece in the Yaivetz. He says, I'm going to show you the two extremes when it comes to Tikkun Chatzos. So the Yaivet says he doesn't understand why the Mekabolim makes such a noise about Tikkun Chatzos, Dafka B'Chatzos Lailo. He says in the Gemara there's no hint to this, the whole of Shas, you won't find a hint to this. I says in Brochus, David HaMelech, had this, you know, the wind blew on his harp and he woke up with Chatzos, Chatzos Lailo, Okum Lehoides Lecha. He says that's specific to David HaMelech. Others argue on him, take a look in the Yifei Leiv, Yeah, over there in Siman Aleph, he's Ma'arif also on this, he brings Raya from Medroshim. There's answers, in Kaat Makom Laharich. But the Yaivet says, there isn't such an Inyan. And he finishes off with his Halacha L'maaseh, the Yaivet says, if there is an Inyan, it's mainly in Eretz Yisrael, because you can't do Chatzos at all different times, there's one Eis Rotzon in Shemayim, it's mainly in Eretz Yisrael, and Talmid HaChachom M'chutz Laaretz. So he finishes off, nowadays, even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, it's good, do Chatzos, and you're not Baal Gaiva. Why? Because since Shabbos HaTzvi, Shem Rishon Yerkav, has brought about this messianic belief that the Gaul has already come, sort of. So Dafka, Faket, you should sit down and wail over the Beis HaMikdosh and make a noise about the fact that the Gaul has not come and the Churban is still here. That's why he, even though in Api Halacha, he doesn't see the backing so much, but Mitzad, this Svara, he says, to do it. The other extreme, you'll find in Reishis Chochma a very interesting thing. In Shara Kedusha, Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, he says like this. Everyone should have a chicken. Everyone should have a chicken. Why should everyone have a chicken? As your alarm clock. Not just the alarm clock for the morning. Your alarm clock for Tikkun Chatzos. It seems, I'm not a farmer, but it seems the chickens also, they make their noises at Chatzos. He says, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara in Brachos said, had a chicken in the famous story. Right, when the robbers came and he was in the forest, and the light went out, and the chicken... Yeah. So, why do you have a chicken, Rashi says, to wake him up? Oh. The chicken, to wake him up. So, he says, he brings a Zoya, that Reb Abba was going to Tveria, and Reb Yaakov Bar Revi was with him, and they came to a certain town and on the way, and they needed to rest. So they asked the owner, do you have a bed? Yes. Do you have a chicken? So the owner looked at them, a chicken? So he said, yeah, what do you need it for? We need to say Tikkun Chatzos. So you see that you need a chicken for Tikkun Chatzos. What happens if you don't have a chicken? So you should make a deal with your friend, one night, and you'll both get tzcha, like in war, those that go out to fight get tzcha, and those that watch the kelim get tzcha. So one stays up to wake you up and he goes to bed, and vice versa. Or, you take someone that's not makbid on this inyan, and he should at least wake you up by chatzos and go to bed, at least you get it. And what happens if there's no eitzah, there's no chicken, there's no one to wake you up, what should you do? Do not sleep in a bed, do not take off your clothes, sleep in a way that'll be easy to wake up. And he brings an amazing thing. Shomati ma'achochem, k'moreinu Reb Yosef Titachik, olav ha'sholem, 40 years, lo yoshan b'mita matzas, he didn't sleep in a spread bed, elon mishabbos l'shabbos, only on Shabbos. Va'omru, they said, sh'yadar koi lishon al gabei teva, would sleep on a box, raglov tluyos, with his legs dangling down, right, not flat, his legs dangling down the box, v'yakom b'chatzois mamash, and that way he would get up every day, every night, b'chatzois mamash. And no one knew of this, v'loyoda odom izeh, ad acha misosoi, shesipro ishtoi. Only after his death, when his wife told of it. Another point that the Aruch Hayim mentions in his Sforim, it's quite a sharp point. He says that all his learning he ever did was always lishma, always l'shem Hashem, never with any pinyus. All his learning. And therefore he says, please only learn my Sforim. He says it's in Chafetz Hashem, doesn't say it on the Aruch Hayim. He says, please only learn my Sforim if you're doing it La'asas Ratzon Hashem. But if you're doing it the counter, you know, just to be big or to chepa, etc., don't learn my Shem. No, don't learn my Chafetz Hashem. Don't learn my Sforim. And he uses quite a sharp lashon. You know, we say to the Nozis, stay far away from the vineyard. We call it schoir, schoir, nazira, mikarma. You know, you say to the Nozis, stay away from the vineyard. So he says like this, Avo balav ochi, if you're not going to learn my Sefer Lishma, Yisalek yodama alai, go away from me, v'lo yitame teres Hashem. And don't mean matama, the Torah of Hashem. And he says, kach omrin on the chazira, instead of nazira. This is what we say to the chaza. Schoir, schoir, lekarma, stay far away from the vineyard. Which vineyard? Kerem Hashem Tzvokois, the vineyard of the Torah. Ki kol atzmeinu lo yhoizah kavona el nizkois, our whole matorah, our whole tachlis was to bring schus into the world. V'loi l'choiva, not to cause damage. And that's why he says he called this sefer Chafetz Hashem, the rotzen of Hashem. We're here to do the rotzen of Hashem. And if we do, then Chafetz Hashem, Hashem will want us. Says, yeah, by doing the Ratzon of Hashem, Chafetz Hashem, then Chafetz Hashem, the Chafetz Hashem will be with us. So that's what he hints in the name of his Sefer. But things get sharper in his Akdoma to Pri Toya. His Pri Toya is his debates with the Pri Chodosh, where he wanted to side, whenever the Pri Chodosh was Cholik on Rishonim, the Rechaim sided with the Rishonim. So he says there, my words, the end of his Akdoma, my words should be before the reader. That if you're coming to overturn my words, shemlefakeach dvarayihu, and definitely if you're coming to chepa, adabe lahamisoi, I will speak to kill him, ba'akishus lechishus nashichus nochosh, with the bite of the snake, v'oisa ani olav esbiria lemacholoi, I ask my fruits to eat, V'toyar oy le'enof, pre-toyar. Yeah, it's all osa. Ah, you've got a question. Just stay blank at a question. If you've got a question, hinani, Chaim oymed b'Yerushalayim be'ez Hashem. He was on his way to Yerushalayim. Right, he opens his yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I'm on the way to Yerushalayim. Send your letters to me. Ask the question, you'll get an answer. And he says, v'abonim bonai, no, he didn't have children. V'abonim bonai, elu ha-talmidim. If he says, after 120, when it was nifta, you can send the letters to my talmidim. Don't just argue and push away my words. That's very, very sharp. Hashem ha-gedoilim brings, in Mareches HaSvarim Heinun Hei, he brings about a certain sefer called Heichal HaKodesh, where some people were learning it and a mezalzel in it, and during the limud, one of the people fell asleep, and he saw the ring punishing him in his dream. So he was makabel not to do it again. In Mareches Dalet, Yud Gimel, he brings actually from the Oruch Chaim. He said, I heard from the Oruch Chaim about a certain sefer called Divrei Nevoi, that Talmud Chacham was learning it, Ashkenazi Talmud Chacham was learning from it, and he was mezalzel in something that it said there. He went to sleep, and in his sleep, they were strangling him to death until he was makabel, not to be mezalzel and mechabri svarim. And in Savor L'Chaim, they bring, this from the son of R'Chaim Palaji, the R'Chaim Palaji was once debating with his uncles about something in Sefer Chavetz Hashem from the R'Chaim. And his uncles didn't agree with what R'Chaim says. And R'Chaim Palaji was matzdik the R'Chaim. They went to sleep. That night, they were all strangled by the Oruch Chaim in their dream. And they came out and they were moided to Rav Chaim Palaji. And from that day, they weren't mucking him as great as their grandfather, the Chikrei Lev. From that day, they treated him in a different respect. Whether in dreams one can really feel pain, that's a famous shaila, because according to the Rambam, the Yaakov didn't really have a fight with the Malach. It was just an image. So why was Yaakov limping? That's one of the big questions. So there is a story that one of the Talmidei HaRambam, Taka, didn't even understand his Rebbe's words because of this. How could he feel pain in a dream? Until he one time slept, and in his dream they beat him up, and he was limping the next day. He said it was a chocha, that it can happen. Okay, we have to understand that. But Al-Kaponim, the Imre Emes, they say from the Imre Emes that he wasn't such a boki in Sifrei Oruch Chaim. The reason being, he held this hazhara on the Sifra Oruch Chaim, not to learn unless you're... He held it would apply to all the Svarim, and therefore he didn't want to learn it. They say, they bring down, that that until he had the dream, the Oruch Chaim came to him and said, I didn't mean you. Mm. Now, in Halacha Svarim, they talk about this. How far does it go? At least the Pre-Toya is very, very stringent. In Siman Pei Dalet, the Pre-Toya goes further and says, unless you're Boki Bechedre Iyun, you may not learn my Sefer. Because you'll just argue and say what you like, and it's incorrect. You have to understand that, you know, people have learned more than you, people know deeper than you. You have to, like the Chidor says, you have to, from the Shama, you have to treat as if the person standing in front of you. Would you just argue then? You see the Oruch Chaim in front of you, you just put his words aside. So the Stei Chemed in Klole HaPoiskim Simen Tezvov brings up this Shaila, and he says, Stei Chemed himself said, I can't learn the Pre-Toya according to this. However, he brings from the Rav David Paradol, the famous Svadi Godel in Mizmor LeDavid, who says that he's sure. He says it cannot be that you can just leave a question that you have an orishan, because the orishan said that you can't ask. Of course, you have to understand that they were deeper. But at the end of the day, you have to get to the bottom of the thing, so you have to go into it and you have to debate. So he said it must be that Oruch Chaim didn't mean it mamash literally. He must have had a certain kavona, and of course, against people that will learn at Lakanta. But someone that is learning at Lashem Shomayim, even if he's not Baki Bechedre Iyun mamash, he can learn it. So says the Mesgeres HaShulchan as well, and so says Talmidim in Akdoma to Rishon Letzion. Still have to clear a little bit, because the Oruch Chaim, these people were very great people. The Mizmor LeDavid, the Oruch Chaim's Talmidim, they were Boki Bechedri, and they just held that Klapei the Oruch Chaim, they weren't. But the Maaseh, they say, if you learn it Hashem Shemaim, then it's okay. Whether the Oruch Chaim meant it for all his Sforim anyway, he maybe only meant it for Pitoya, for Chavetz Hashem, he didn't say in the Oruch Chaim, that's also something to think about. Okay.